trust that you're beginning to appreciate that, enjoy that. Hey, before I jump into the Word this morning, let me just let you know, my name is Pastor Brent. I'm the lead pastor here at South Point, and I'm so happy to be able to have that that role in the church. And I want to just take a moment for a family moment this morning before I get into the Word, and let me just give you some background. You might remember a couple months ago, I think about 3 months ago now, when Pastor Kim left us. And she went to Georgia to be with grandkids, and they're doing great from what I hear, and just enjoying life there with grandkids. And we talked about the fact that what we're going to do as a staff, we're going to kind of move some things around and some people around. And I want to just take a moment and just highlight God's goodness to us. And just, I'm going to embarrass a few people this morning. I'm going to ask Maria to stand up and Shelly to stand up, because come on, stand up, ladies. I want to just commend these gals. They are serving so well in the church office. Maria, who was previously my assistant, is now the office manager, so she's handling a whole lot of things, finances, and helping oversee all the business aspects of the church, and she's doing a wonderful job. Shelly, who has already sat down, was in the office 2 days a week. Now she's in the office 4 days a week, and she's assisting me and being the receptionist and doing so much of the things around here. And I just want you to know, these gals are doing a wonderful job, and I hope you have the opportunity, amen, to thank them. And they're stepping up and doing a great job. I couldn't be happier with the team that God's given us and God's helping us with. I also want to commend Pastor Michael. Pastor Michael, would you stand? Because just a week or so ago, he got his credentials with the Assemblies of God, and now he's a licensed pastor. So now we need to call him Reverend Michael. But he previously had credentials with the Foursquare, and now he's with the Assemblies of God, and so now he's a real pastor now. So I want you to just and listen, I want you to know, I did what I asked you to do. We were gone over Thanksgiving weekend, and Pastor Michael's here preaching. So I got on Facebook and watched his sermon, and he's getting better, right? Because he's now got credentials with the Assemblies of God. So he's a much but it was a great sermon, and I'm so proud of him and the steps he's taking in his ministry, and that helps all of us, amen? And so again, if you have the opportunity to just let him know that you appreciate him, I know he would appreciate that. And let me also say on behalf of the team that we're so appreciative of the pastor's appreciation offering that you gave last Sunday. Wow, this is a generous church. We're so glad to be a part of it. And speaking of generosity, let me also say, wasn't last Sunday a great Sunday with Pastor Jack and Rhonda being with us? And amen. And again, you know, we had many more people giving towards their ministry and just helping them out. And again, what a generous group of folks that we're a part of. Thank you for your generosity toward them. And it was so good to have them here with us. And just to be able to see them and encourage them and have them encourage us with what God's done and what God is doing. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful time of the year. I encourage you to take out in your program there this little green insert and follow along and maybe jot down some notes this morning. And if your family is like mine, we've got some family. How many of you have some family traditions around your home? Things that you do every year, okay. One of the things that we do as a family is there's a couple movies that we watch. And every year we've got to make sure to watch a couple movies. Now, don't hate me for watching Elf every year. How many of you watch Elf, okay? And we're always quoting some lines from that movie. One of the things that's a classic that every year we've got to watch, and our kids hated it, because it's A Wonderful Life. Any Wonderful Life fan? Okay, come on. You got to be a certain age, I guess, to really enjoy that. But that one makes me cry every year. It's just a great movie. And, you know, I'm not the kind of guy, I don't like to watch movies over and over again, but that's one I just enjoy the message of. And my kids are always joking about watching that. But the third one, in fact, we've already watched it this year. When my daughter Brooklyn was here last weekend, we sat down. It was her idea. She said, Dad, let's watch the Charlie Brown Christmas. Isn't that great? I think that's probably my favorite. How many Charlie Brown Christmas fans are out there? Oh, come on. You gotta watch that one. It's just a great movie. And I love the fact, you know, this is amazing to me. I was talking to Brooklyn about this. I love the fact that it was actually on broadcast TV back in the 60s. If you remember that movie, Linus stands up, right, and reads the Christmas story. Do you remember that scene? And that's really our text for this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And so I thought about having Linus read the text this morning, but he was not available. But Rod Alderson is going to read the text. And I asked him to bring a blanket and hold it like Linus did, but he wasn't too happy about that. Let's stand together, shall we? Luke chapter 2. Rod, would you come and read our text this morning, the great Christmas story. And thank you, Rod, for being our reader this morning. Out of respect for God's word, we want to stand as it's being read to us. Luke chapter 20, if you have your Bibles. If not, look up on the screen with us.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman Empire. This is the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to hear them in their Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Amen. Let's pray. And Rod, we want to pray over you. I understand you're having surgery this week and having your knee replaced, so I don't want to embarrass you, but we're going to just...
That's okay.
Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Christmas story. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to it, Lord. For many of us, we've heard it many, many, many times. Lord, we pray for fresh insight. We pray you'd speak to us through your word today. And Father, thank you for Rod. Bless him. Help him, Lord, as he faces this knee replacement. Let everything go smoothly. Bring him back to us quickly, Lord, and just minister to him this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. And that really is my prayer for us today, that we would have fresh ears to hear God's word to us this morning. You know, for many of us, we'd say, "Pastor, I've heard the Christmas story before many, many times. Maybe you've been a part of a Christmas play and acted it out." By the way, make sure to be here tonight. Our kids are going to act out the Christmas play. But, you know, you might say, "Pastor, you know, I've heard this. I know the story." Listen, I have as well. But let's pray. And my prayer all week as I prepare this message is, God, you'd speak to us in a fresh and a new way. Amen? Amen. At Christmas, God wants to get your attention. God came at Christmas to try to get your attention. He wants to communicate a message to us and to the world. And think about all the ways that God could have communicated with us. God could have written on the sky, you know, a message for us. He could have come with, you know, power and glory and a big megaphone and yelled at us. But God communicated with us in the most unthreatening way by sending a baby. Think about that. What is less threatening than a baby? We've all been there. We've all been babies. Hopefully you're not still a baby. We all have been babies. We've all come into this world the same way. We've all been infants. We've all had our diapers changed and been cared for. And God said, "I'm going to send to you a baby. I'm going to come to you as a baby. The most least threatening way I can come to you." That's what Christmas is all about. What's more harmless and less threatening than a baby? Nothing. And on that day when he sent Jesus to be born as a baby, he sent angels to announce his birth. And the message of the angels is what we want to look at this morning. There's a lot that was in that text today, but I want to focus in on one phrase. We'll get to one phrase. We'll get to it in a moment. But before I do, let's think about the fact that God brought the message of Christmas to the shepherds. Let me just take a quick poll here. If you're like me, you grew up in church, you grew up being in the Christmas plays. How have you boys, especially, were shepherds at one point in your life? Anybody? Okay. I mean, you stand up there, and maybe you've got one of these staffs, you know, and you're wearing your dad's bathrobe up on the platform, you know, and you're a shepherd, and that's kind of your role. I've been there. I've done that. And sometimes we think about the shepherds, and we don't really think too much about why they're important or what they're all about. I think, if nothing else today, I want you to understand the idea here. It wasn't just chance that God gave the message of Christmas to the shepherds. He was doing something, he was doing something very important. He was doing something very strategic in sending the message to the shepherds. He could have sent it to Caesar, he could have sent it to the kings or to the palace, but he said, no, I'm going to send my message of Christmas to the shepherds. Why is that? Well, for one thing, it tells us that this was not a made-up story. If you're going to make up a story about the birth of the Son of God coming to this world, you wouldn't have the message given to shepherds. Think about it. You would have had the message given to someone important, someone who could get the word out, someone who is trustworthy and reliable. And so if you're ever wondering, well, is the Christmas story true? Just the fact that the message was given to shepherds ought to tell you something, that it's got to be true. If you were making it up, you wouldn't make that part of it up. Well, if you think a little bit about shepherds, I want to talk about them for just a moment. You know, throughout the history of Israel, if you think about the Old Testament, you might remember some of the great men of the Old Testament were shepherds. I mean, the first one, of course, was Abel, was a shepherd, but then Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and, of course, King David, they're all shepherds. And so for much of the Old Testament, being a shepherd was a pretty cool thing. I mean, it was something that was looked up to. It was an honorable profession. In fact, even now as a pastor, one of my titles is I am a shepherd. In fact, I love this is not just a prop. This is in my office. My daughter bought this for me a few years ago because I wanted one of these because it reminds me that my role in the church is to be a shepherd. And God's called me to be that. And so I look at this every so often and think, yeah, I'm a shepherd. And that makes you a sheep. And I'm a sheep as well, okay? But I mean, anyway, I mean, the idea of being a shepherd is a pretty high honor in the Old Testament. But you need to know that in Jesus' day or in this time, being a shepherd really was not a good thing. It had really changed, and the reputation of shepherds had gone from here down to here. And let me give you a few reasons. You look at your notes here. Let me fill in a couple of these blanks here. You know, first of all, in a positive sense, shepherds are hard workers. If you were a shepherd, you were not just punching the clock for 8 hours a day. It was long hours. You were outside. You were far from home. It wasn't a 40-hour-a-week job. Okay, you didn't come home at night. You're with the sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, sheep in the morning, sheep in the afternoon, sheep in the evening, sheep at night. You were sick of being with sheep. That was your job. You were a hard worker. During the day, you would lead the sheep to grass and water. During the night, you'd watch over the sheep. In fact, they would actually literally lay over the doorway of the sheep pen. And Jesus refers to that in John chapter 10, the idea that the shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. I mean, it was an all-consuming job. You were there. You didn't get time off. You didn't get holidays off. You didn't get Sundays off. I mean, you were a shepherd. So you, in a good sense, you were a hard worker. But what goes along with that, and the second point is, shepherds couldn't go to the temple. Because they were always out working, because they were always out on the job, they were ceremonially unclean. They were looked down on because they, in our world, we'd say, well, they can't come to church. They didn't come to church, so they must not be good folks. I mean, they're out there working. They couldn't, because someone's got to be watching the sheep. And so in their world, they were unclean. They were not respectable because they couldn't come to the feast. They couldn't come be a part of the religious life of Israel. They were just, you know, because somebody had to be watching the sheep. And so we would say they couldn't go to church or they couldn't even watch it on Facebook. I mean, they were just isolated. They were out there doing their thing. While everybody else is going to Jerusalem to make sacrifices at the temple or participate in one of the feasts, they were out in the fields. Watching the sheep. A modern example for our world may be a long-distance trucker or a shift worker, maybe a nurse that has to work overnight or, you know, different people that have a schedule that just doesn't allow them to be a part of a church service. And sometimes we would say, well, those people are kind of on the fringes of religious life because they can't be a part of what's going on. And so from a religious point of view, they were looked down upon. Thirdly, because of that, they were isolated and forgotten. I mean, think about it. As everyone got together for the feast, and everyone got together for the religious events in Jerusalem, they had a great time, but you know what? The shepherds were out in the field. And so they were isolated, they were forgotten, they were looked over, and they were overlooked. They were just kind of on the fringes of society. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but that's certainly how the shepherds felt. And so you wrap all that up in a summary statement that would say this: shepherds were disliked. They were not trusted. You know, if you were a shepherd, you were often accused of being a thief because they were going from place to place, and if something came up missing, oh, the shepherds must have stole it. You know, their testimony was not allowed in the court of law because they were looked down upon as someone who couldn't be trusted. They're always looked on with suspicion. Kind of like we might look at people who travel from place to place to place, and we wonder, you know, what's going on? What are they doing? What's their real motive? If something came up missing, they always would blame the shepherds. Because they were always outside, they were brash, and they were loud, and they were bold, and they had, most of them had foul mouths, and they were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. I mean, these guys were just those kind of characters. And to these kind of men, think about it, God said, I'm going to give you the message of Christmas. I'm going to come to you and give you the good news that a Savior is going to be born. God entrusted the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of smelly shepherds. Think about it. But actually, if you know God at all, that's not too unusual. God always works wonders for the forgotten and the despised and the depressed and the lonely. And even Jesus, from the very beginning of his ministry, what did he say? He didn't say, I'm here to reach the rich people. I'm here to preach to the kings. No, he said this. He said, it is the sick, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus took upon himself that whole idea that I'm here to help people who are hurting. I'm here to help the down and out. I'm here to help the people that feel like they're on the outside looking in. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Because I find myself there very often. I don't, you know, and Jesus came to reach people who are hurting. Think about his ministry. He came to be with the sinners, with Zacchaeus and Levi, the prostitutes and the demon-possessed and the strangers and the Samaritans. So from the very beginning of his life, the message was announced to shepherds, these guys that couldn't be trusted, these guys who were on the outside looking in, these guys who just nobody really liked. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That tells me that God's word comes and Jesus comes not just for those who've got their life all together, but he comes for those who are hurting, for those who are struggling in life. Can anybody relate to that this morning? I hope so. The shepherds help us see that God has a message for sinners just like us, that everyone matters to God. We can't look at some people and say, well, you don't matter to God, or you know, God doesn't care about you, because the Christmas message came to the shepherds. Now let's focus in this morning on verse 10, because verse 10 is a great summary of the Christmas story, where the angel said this, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. Good news, great joy, all the people. Number one, Christmas is good news. Amen. Sometimes we lose it. Let's be honest. Sometimes we lose that in our culture. Sometimes in the midst of all the busyness and the decorating and the shopping and the baking and the gift giving and all the things that we do that are added on to our already busy schedule, we say, Christmas, I just can't wait till it's over. And sometimes we're in that mindset. We say Christmas is a busy time. It's an expensive time. It's a family time, which could be good and could be bad. Sometimes we say, Pastor, have you seen my credit card bill? How can you say Christmas is good news? Well, I know our society puts all that stuff on us, but let's kind of scrape all that away this morning and realize that the real story of Christmas is good news. It couldn't be better news. The fact that God loves you, the fact that God sent his son Jesus to come to this world to give us the greatest gift ever, that is good news. One of the great things about coming to church is hopefully you can just take a moment and remember that and kind of, you know, again, push away some of this clutter and some of the busyness and some of the stress and some of the pressure that comes with Christmas. And this morning, I hope if nothing else, you hear me say this morning, you say, you know what, thank you. Christmas is good news. It's good news that God loves you. It's good news that he sent his son for you. It's good news that he gave the message to the shepherds. You know, the word good news is the word for gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel says that God loves you and God cares about you and God sent Jesus to take your place on the cross. If you need some good news this morning, let me remind you that God loves you, that he's on the throne of this world, that God wants a relationship with you, that he sent his son to this earth to die in your place. That is the good news of Christmas. Amen. You are allowed to say amen this morning, so just feel free. Amen. Good news. What news could be better? What better news could I give you this morning than that God loves you and he made a provision for your life? See, Pastor, I'd sure love to win the lottery. That'd be good news. But don't you know that a lot of times people win the lottery and their life just goes downhill? You might say, Pastor, I'd like to try. Okay, well, that's up to you. I mean, but you know, it's not gonna change your life that much. Well, Pastor, I'd love to meet Mr. Wright. If I could just get a relationship with him. Listen, nothing wrong with that. I'd love to go on a great vacation. I'd love to get away from my problems. Listen, those are not bad things, but they're all temporary. The best news you could hear this morning is that God loves you, that God cares about you, that Christmas is about that. And Christmas is a place of good news. And let me go further. South Point is a place of good news. This is a church where you come and you're accepted and you're loved. We talked about connect, grow, serve, that we connect to God and to each other, that we grow in love and that we serve our world. And I want to encourage you, if you're just kind of checking out churches or you're not sure about this, listen, this is not a perfect church, but you've got to find yourself in a family, in a church family where you can grow and you can serve and you can love God. And I can honestly say that as people come to South Point, they're loved and they're accepted and they're welcomed, and this is a place where you'll find some good news. Amen? So take that invite card that Pastor Michael talked to you about and share some good news. You know, there's some people in your world that need to know that Christmas isn't just about parties. It's not just about decoration. It's not just about the tree. It's about good news. And help us get the word out. We've got some great Christmas services planned, and we want to encourage you to be here and bring somebody with you. Amen? So good news. Number two, Christmas brings great joy. The angel said, I bring you good news, which will bring great joy. Now listen, we often get stumble here a bit because we think, well, what's the difference between happiness and joy? Write this down. Happiness is based on circumstances. Happiness is based on circumstances. If your circumstances are good, you're going to be happy. And your circumstances may be good, they may be bad. You know, you may be having a great day today, tomorrow may be a struggle, but happiness is simply based on circumstances. That's that next fill in there, so go ahead and jot that in. You know, when you were a kid, it was all about what's under the tree with my name on it. And if I get what I want for Christmas, I'm going to be happy. Hopefully you're not still like that as an adult. Maybe you are, I don't know. But, you know, the idea that what's in it for me, and how are my circumstances, and how's the weather, and what's my bank balance, and how's my family stress, and how busy am I, or, you know, what's going on in my life? And how do you know circumstances go up and they go down? And you may be having a good day, is followed by a difficult day, and life is just kind of that way, up and down. And if you're basing your happiness on that, if you think joy comes from circumstance, you'll be sorely disappointed. Here's what joy comes from. Joy is based on a right relationship with God. If you are right with God, if you know the Christmas truth that God loves you and God cares about you, if you've accepted Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, guess what? You can live in joy. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter how much you've got in the bank, no matter how good things are going on the job, no matter how your kids or grandkids are treating you that day, you can still have joy. Why? Because it's based on your relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying those other things don't matter. I'm just saying that when the rubber hits the road and when your head hits a pillow at night, you can say, you know what? My life may be difficult. I've got difficulties here and stress here, and this part of my life is not going well, but you know what? I know God loves me. I know heaven is my home. I know he sent Jesus for me at Christmas. I know one day this life will be over and I'll be with him forever. And I've got joy in my heart because of that. Amen. If joy were based on circumstances, how do you know that life is like this? Once you get one part of your life going pretty good, guess what? Something else falls apart. And once you get this thing figured out, something else over here falls apart. It's like that carnival game, Whack-A-Mole. Have you ever played that game? You know, you whack the bowl here and it pops up over here and you whack it over here. And some people live life that way. Say, well, if I could just get my finances and debt paid off, I'd be happy. Then my car breaks down and then I get that taken care of. And then my kid has problems at school and I get that taken care of. And I turn over here, my dog's got fleas, you know, and I got all these things going. And life never fits together and the circumstances are never all good at the same time. And if I'm trying to base my life on that, I'm going to be miserable. God doesn't tell us to be happy. He tells us to be joyful. We sang it this morning, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Does that mean this world? I think it does. It means right here, right now, in the middle of your difficulty, in the middle of your stress, the message to the shepherds was still, even in their life as a shepherd, they could have joy. The message of Christmas is that God can bring joy to this world, the world that we live in today, and not in just some perfect place. And you know this. Many of you know the Bible talks about joy in the middle of persecution, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 16, joy in the middle of imprisonment, joy in the middle of trials, 1 Peter chapter 4. How is that? Why is that? Because joy isn't about my circumstances. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. Nehemiah said it this way. You see it there on your notes in the back. Nehemiah said, go out and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. The day is sacred to the Lord our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. No joy, no strength. God calls us to celebrate. I believe God is pleased when we celebrate Christmas. I believe God is pleased when we have joy in our hearts this time of year because we say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. I can be joyful, not in the circumstances, but I can be joyful in what you've done. Number three, Christmas is for everyone. It's for everyone. Good news, great joy, all people. All people. Listen, Christmas is for everyone. There's no racial divides. There's no economic divides. There's no class or language or gender divides. Christmas is for all people. Amen. Everybody. God came to give his son Jesus as a gift for the entire world. It's for everyone. The message of the manger and the cross is for all mankind. It began with the shepherds, who are a perfect example of imperfect people who've been left out of the religious side of Israel. And it's given to all people. Listen, you are not excluded. If you're here this morning, I want you to know you are not excluded. If you're watching on Facebook, you are not excluded from the joy of Christmas, from God's message of Christmas. Let me just be honest with, and I know many of you would relate to this, maybe it's been a tough year. I mean, you've gone through things this year that you thought you maybe would never have to face. And maybe you would say, you know what, I just assume skip Christmas this year. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about joy. I don't want to be around people. In fact, you may be watching this online because you don't want to be around people this morning. If that's you, I want you to know that God's gift of Christmas is for everyone. Even if you're hurting, even if you're grieving, even if you're struggling with depression or anxiety or whatever it is, God's message of Christmas is for you. Amen. Amen. You don't have to have your life all together to enjoy what God's given to you at Christmas. You may be grieving, you may be sad, you may be lonely, but Christmas is for all people. The good news of Christmas is for everyone, not just for people who have their lives all together. So if you identify at all with the shepherds, this should be very encouraging. Perhaps you feel like the shepherds. You know, I think about those guys. We're not given a lot of details about their lives, but think about it with me for a moment. You're out in the fields, and maybe you're lonely. Maybe you wish you had more friends than just the sheep that were there with you or the other shepherds. They kind of get on your nerves after a while because they're a lot like you. And you're sitting there in the cold, December night, and you're looking across the valley, and what do you see? You see the village. You see the city. You see lights on. You see people celebrating. You see people enjoying company. You see people enjoying a good meal together. Boy, you feel left out, don't you? You feel like, man, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be a part of what's going on at the temple. I wish I could be a part of what's going on in the village. Instead, I'm stuck out here 24/7 with these sheep. And I can't help but wonder that if they weren't feeling excluded, feeling like I'm on the outside looking in, like I'm not part of the crowd, I'm not part of the in crowd, I wish I was, and I could just see them feeling lonely and down and depressed. I don't know about you, but I think we've all felt that way. And the good news is that it's good news of great joy, say it with me, for all people, all people. If you're sad, if you're depressed, if you're struggling this morning, I want you to know Christmas is for you. The message of Christmas still applies for you. And the shepherds show us that way. The message of the angels tell us it's good news of great joy for all people. You may think that God doesn't even know you exist. Listen, friends, he knows you exist. He came to give you that gift at Christmas of his son, Jesus Christ. It's not just for people who have their lives all together. It's good news of great joy for all people. Again, God didn't bring the message to the high and the mighty. He didn't bring the message to the palace. He brought the message to the shepherds. And the message is this, of good joy, good news of great joy for all people. Christmas is for me. Now let's ask the most important question. As you look at the manger, as we look at the baby, we've got to ask ourselves the question, who is this baby? You know, what's the big deal? I mean, think about it. Like I said earlier, we've all been babies. We're all born in this earth the same way. I mean, we've all been there. Luke goes on to describe this baby, and the most important question in all of human history is, who is this baby? Who is this? What's so important about this little baby that was born on that Christmas day? Well, Luke goes on to say that he says to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Now think about that. In that space of one sentence, Luke gives Jesus three titles. He said, today has been born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. In one sentence, Luke gives us the message of who is this baby. This baby is our Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. So let me wrap up the message this morning by kind of bringing those three words to life for us this morning. It certainly wasn't that Jesus was born to special parents or in a special place. He was born in a manger. He was born not in the palace, but he was born among animals. He was born in a place of poverty. It wasn't that. It was who he was. And Luke says he was our Savior, Christ the Lord. Jesus said about this, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Listen, there's great freedom. There's great freedom in knowing and admitting that I need a Savior. That I am a sinner without Jesus and I need him to save me. Now, some people don't like that language. They say, well, Pastor, I'm a good person. You know, I'm a good man. I'm better than that person. I've not done this. I haven't done that. Don't talk to me about needing a Savior. Listen, here's a comparison. Now, we won't do this morning, but what if we said, okay, let's all see if we can jump up and touch the ceiling. All right, let's just go ahead and give it a good old try. And as hard as we tried, as much as we wanted to, how do you know none of us could do it? Now, some maybe get an inch or two higher than somebody else. We may have some variance there, okay? But listen, none of us, I'm quite confident that none of us could jump and touch the ceiling. Say amen if you're with me so far. The point isn't who can get a little bit higher than somebody else, or, you know, that doesn't matter. None of us can do it. And the same way is true in life. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. You know, you may not have sinned as much as that person or done this or that. Listen, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And we find ourselves in a mess. What do we do about our sin problem? What do we do about the fact that I cannot save myself, that I am a sinner by birth and I'm a sinner by choice, and before I come to know Jesus, there's nothing I can do about it. Let me prove that to you. If you think you don't need a Savior, let me prove it to you. Let's just make a deal. And let's meet back next Sunday and you tell me how it goes to go a whole week without sinning. I mean, and that means no harsh words, no evil thoughts, nothing. Not a cruel word. You're only going to speak encouragement to people around you. You're not going to covet anything. You're not going to be prideful. You're not going to have a lustful thought. I mean, let's see how that goes. How many think you couldn't probably get out of the parking lot this morning, okay? And we'll just have a confessional booth out here by Stockton Boulevard, okay? Listen, we need a Savior. We need one. And there's freedom in being able to admit that and say, you know what, yes, I'm broken without Jesus. I need a Savior. I need him to come and to forgive you my sins. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Aren't you thankful for that? I love what Steve Lawson said. He had a great little summary here. I think I've got it on the screen for you. He says, salvation is not a reward for the righteous, but a gift for the guilty. Listen, you're never going to earn your salvation. You're not going to be good enough for God to save you. Our salvation comes when I say, God, I am guilty. I am a sinner. I realize that I need you. And I know many of us in this room have made that commitment and we've made that confession and God has saved us from our sin. But if you haven't yet made that, let today be the day that you accept him as your Savior. What a great Christmas this would be for you if you say, you know what? I know I need Jesus. I know I can't make it without him. And I pray that you would make that decision today, because we need a Savior. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. What does that word Christ mean? Some people think, well, it's his last name, Jesus Christ, right? There's Mary Christ and Joseph Christ, and listen, and I'm not being disrespectful. Some people think that. Listen, the word Christ is not a name, it's a title. Jesus the Christ. The Messiah. The word Christ means the chosen one of God, the Messiah, the promised one of God. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the promised one of God, Jesus the Messiah. He's the Christ. He was chosen by God, sent by God. And the reason why so often we see Jesus Christ is because Jesus was a common name in those days. I mean, Jesus was just an ordinary name. And I think even that speaks to us about the meaning of Christmas. Jesus didn't come to this earth with a name, you know, like Reverend Holiness Angelic Divinity the Third or something. I mean, he didn't come with it. He just came as Jesus. In our day, his name would have been Bob or Jim or Joe or, you know, it was a normal name. It was an everyday name. In fact, Max Lucado says it this way. When God chose a name his son would carry, he chose a human name. He chose a name so typical that it would appear two or three times on any given school class roll. So Jesus was there in school with his other friends. And there were several Jesuses there because it was a common name. But he is Jesus the Christ. He is the title. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one of God. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, what? The Lord. Christ the Lord. Think about it. Even at his birth, Jesus was recognized as Lord of the universe. Wow. Even at his birth, and we didn't read it this morning, but Matthew tells the story of the wise men coming, and they were, what, bringing gifts to the baby. They recognized the fact that even at his birth, he was Lord. We sing it, that song, Silent Night, and we'll sing it, I'm sure, this Christmas season. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. He came to this world as the Lord. He came to this world as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, taking on the body of a man, taking on the body of a baby. I love, this is the way to think of it. Jesus is the Lord. He became a man. Ah, I think that's good. He is the Lord. He was the Lord, even as a baby. I'm gonna pick up this baby right here. This is probably a prop for tonight. Even as a baby, listen, even as a baby, he was Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that boggles my mind to think that he came to this earth as the Lord, even in the form of a baby. And he grew up to become a man. He grew up to be Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. He took upon himself the form of a man, but Jesus is the Lord. He became a man. And so I think of it this way. What I needed most at Christmas, God gave to me in Jesus. The gift I needed most, a Lord, Christ, our Savior. And friend, I wanted you to know the gift of salvation is available today. The gift of Christmas, the gift of a Savior is available to all of us today. That's the good news of Christmas. I want to encourage you, if you know the Lord, to share that story with people this Christmas season. Tell them that Christmas isn't just about the gifts and the parties and the celebration and the lights. All that is fun and it's good. But Christmas is about more than that. It's about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Find a way to share that message with those around you this week. That's what the shepherds did. They went and told the story. They went and told everybody they could find about what they saw that day, that night, about Jesus. So let me close with these three questions. I want all of us to ask ourselves this question. Answer this question. Is he Savior to you? Is he Christ to you? Is he Lord to you? That's the question of the ages. That's the question. Is Jesus your Savior? Has he saved you from your sins? Is he the Christ? Do you recognize him being sent from God, the anointed one, the Messiah? And thirdly, do you recognize him as being your Lord? He is the boss. He's the ruler. He's the Lord of your life. And if you can answer yes to those questions, I hope that you can. If you can't, let me encourage you today, accept the gift of salvation. Accept the gift of Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to accept you today as my Lord and as my Savior. I love what Corrie ten Boom said at one point. She said, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not once in me, then I would still be lost. If Jesus is not born in you, friend, you are lost in your sin. It doesn't matter if he was born in Bethlehem or not. If he's not born in you, we talk about being born again. It's accepting him as your Lord and as your Savior. And I can't think of a better invitation to give you today than to say, would you reach out and accept him? Would you reach out and say yes to the Christmas gift today? Would you bow your heads with me? Would you close your eyes for just a moment? Without anyone looking around, I wanted just a moment of you and I to talk together. You'd say, Pastor, I thought maybe in the past I understood what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, but today I'm seeing it really for the first time, that I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I need to open my life to Him. It's not just enough to go to church or to be a good person, but today's the day I really want to open my life to Him and accept Him, and I want Him to be my